Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they absolutely got it right. And this is Tom Navolis, your host. And we have, as always, more to talk about than we'll ever have time to properly engage in. But that is why, as I like to reference you to, look over my shoulder and you'll see that SamuelAdamsReturns.net is where you can find all the archives of the programs, which both has a podcast link right at the top of every week's program, as well as when you go through and read through. If you want to see my smiling face, you can actually watch this video. And it's up to you, but there's a lot of information there. There's a lot that you can scroll back and look at, and a number of the different things that we are working on here at Samuel Adams Returns. So let me touch on some of that in a bit. But what I wanted to do is kind of comment on this being the week of May 6th was in our week, and it was supposed to be the National Day of Prayer. And for the last 70-plus years, the National Day of Prayer was held at the Capitol. And in fact, if you go all the way back to the beginning of this country, once the Capitol was built, what? Yes, shock of all shocks, there were actually church services that were held inside the Capitol building. Now, I have an interesting article here that I wanted to talk to you about because this is in relationship to what we've been discussing on the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. And when is it that Christians should look at resisting tyranny? Well, as I say and have been saying, if you just watch the local media and you watch the mainstream media, that there is no tyrants that are happening. In fact, according to them, the tyrant was removed from office during the election, and you know the O'Biden is the savior of the nation. Well, here in Christianity Daily, the Thursday, May 6th, article is, Biden administration won't allow National Day of Prayer to be held at the U.S. Capitol this year. And it goes on to talk about how that was something that had been in place for at least 70-plus years there at the Capitol. And now, not that individuals can't pray, but because, let me take you to that. So, you know, we're just putting the playing field level here, is that if you go, which is in the links, again, SamuelAdamsReturns.net has the link to both that article that I just started to talk from, as well as the link to the White House briefing room. And a proclamation on National Day of Prayer from the present resident. And get that? The present resident. So what it talks about, it just gives this really fluffy thing about how Americans of many religions and belief systems have turned prayer to for strength of hope. Well, you know, that's interesting because when you can pray to anything, and that's exactly what we have going on in America right now, is the majority of people are praying to anything. So this proclamation is done as you read through it. There's all this fluff in there about this day today celebrating the healing balm of prayer can play in our lives and in the life of our nation. Well, prayer is not a healing balm. Prayer is for specific aspects. And ask your pastor to really give you the details on that. But prayer includes many of things that I'm not going to get into the theological definitions of prayer, but it is petitioning the only living God of all creation. It is confessing our sins before Him because He is holy and we are not. It is taking and petitioning Him through His grace, mercy, and righteousness to take and direct us and guide us. But that's not what this says. This is not what this White House thing says. But what he does say is that the Congress, by public law 100-307, as amended, has called on the president to issue each year a proclamation designating the first Thursday in May as a national day of prayer. Now, therefore, the resident, O'Biden, I call him O'Biden because, well, we don't know who's really directing him, but, you know, anyway. Let's see. He's calling himself he's the resident in the United States of America by that authority given in the Constitution and law. Makes this proclamation of a national day of prayer, and he invites everybody to give thanks in accordance to their own faith and conscience for our many freedoms and blessings, and I enjoin all people of faith in prayer for spiritual guidance, mercy, and protection. Well, yeah, he needs that, but he's not petitioning the God that our founders petitioned. And that's something that, you know, we'll talk about a little bit more as we get into the next segments. Because when Sam Adams, and we're going to do a real contrast in the second segment, in relationship to Sam Adams making a proclamation of a prayer, of thanksgiving, humiliation, and prayer, that we would be humble before the living God. And we know that Sam Adams, in his speech after the Declaration of Independence, called upon heaven, called upon the living God of the universe, and gave all acknowledgement for our liberties and freedoms would come from Him. So that is really, as many of you that listen to this program already know, you know, this is once again preaching to the choir type thing, I feel, is that we're to do that. It is the Christian perspective and the Judeo-Christian values and ethics that have established this nation. Nothing else, none other. And we know from our founders, as you've heard thousands of times, but I wonder, is it resonating with you? Is it grabbing your heart and your mind? As we talked about last week, is it in your heart and your mind that the Constitution is only, get that, is only for a moral and virtuous, which means a religious people? And it is the responsibility of the pulpits to ensure that we have that all through society. So instead, what we have is that we have evil, God haters, murderers, the most profane in not only the White House and the administration throughout all the different bureaucracies, and even the head of different bureaucracies are perversions, according to the Word of God. That, wow, where are the pulpits in taking and standing on that which was brought to bear in Magdeburg? You see, what we'll talk about maybe today, and we'll get into the third segment, is that whole idea that Christians are supposed to resist God haters, the destroyers of our religious liberties and freedoms. And you go, well, Tom, wait a minute, time out. You just read you know, from the resident in the White House, the what he was just saying there about that, you know, all religions, you know, by virtue of his authority and all of that, and calling on all religions and giving this little diatribe there as to, you know, it's a healing balm on prayer, and that the many religions and belief systems, wow, you know what that does? It totally reminds me of Israel every time God called the prophets to judge the nation, because that's exactly what they did. They set up different pillars. They set up all these different other ideologies. They set up all these different religions. They incorporated the various belief systems into what their nation was founded on. And as a result, it drove them to the various levels of perversion and the judgment of God. Yeah, God still operates. We talked about that last week. God still operates. He did not walk away from this world after he created it. In fact, that's pretty clear in the New Testament for those that believe in the New Testament. May not preach it properly, but when you look at what Jesus says, well, maybe it's because they really don't believe that Jesus is God. That might be the problem. Because Jesus says that all authority is given him in heaven and on earth. So I guess for a lot of you pastors and Christians out there that are trying to deal within the context of governance, home, personal, whatever, is that Jesus is not really the person he says he is, nor does he have all authority in heaven and earth. Ponder that one for a while. Think about that. If you really believe that he, being the King of Kings, which means the President of Presidents, the Prime Minister of Prime Ministers, the full authority over everything in heaven and on earth, then you're not fighting for your king according to that which he designed and called us to. Not just to take and make disciples, but to do those good works is what Paul and even James say. Not to do good mushy works, you know, good works for nonsense, but to do his work. And his work is about grace, peace, and righteousness and true biblical justice. And we're going to pick up on some more of that, because those are the types of things that the Anti-Federalists talked about when they were looking at this Constitution of 87, especially minus the Bill of Rights, and to protect every aspect of what it would mean to govern individually, govern ourselves, govern our homes, what would happen in the relationship of our churches, and then in the general government for the welfare of all, being a true, just government. And man, and we'll talk about that probably in the third segment, maybe we'll get to it in the next segment, man can't give us true justice, as you're seeing. Everything that's going on out there, and I'll talk a little bit about the nonsense here in a moment or two. But the Anti-Federalists predicted this. We've talked about this before, and I'm not giving you all the specifics on which Anti-Federalist paper is bringing that to bear, but I am going to bring you what Sam Adams had to say about it, especially as governor, when we return in the next segment of Samuel Adams. He is returned because he never left in principle, and those Anti-Federalists, they did. Their writings got it absolutely right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, they did. They got it right. This is Tom Navolis, your host, and I am absolutely delighted to be here on Liberty Works Radio Network, where liberty does work for you. And I highly recommend that you take the time to look at all those other hosts and hostesses. And if you would, please find that donate button and get in there and donate. This is a listener-funded network, and that means you, the listener, get to help fund the network. So jump on in there and help take care of that. In addition, I'd like you to take a look at, over my shoulder, SamuelAdamsReturns.net, where all the other archives are. And if you would kindly take and sign up for the newsletter, I don't bug you a whole lot with anything. I usually send it out once a week, and on occasion, I'll send out something extra special during the week if I do another program, which I haven't done, that being either a sermon from the founding era or something else that's just really a hot topic. So I'm not one that's out there pounding on you. And you know what? I don't even ask you for money. But if you would kindly take and invest in one of my books, if you go to the link on The Real Samuel Adams, you'll find that there are also DVDs that I have available. And if you take and, help do that, then that'll help this endeavor continue to move forward with your direct support. What I would like to do as we get into what Sam Adams had to say, I wanted to first capture you. I'm doing constitutional classes. I think I mentioned it before, but I want to mention it here now and promote those classes with the Institute on the Constitution. There is a link that's showing up in the video portion of this that you'll be able to go to. And in that link, you'll be able to find all of the different books, the classes, those types of things. And if you're in Northeast Ohio, I would encourage you to contact me because we can take and put the classes together for up here in Northeast Ohio. But over the course of this time frame, and let's call it the Tea Party time frame, since the Obama came into office and everybody got all riled up and their hair lit on fire and all that type of stuff. And they were trying to figure out what to do. And then, oh yeah, the Constitution this, the Constitution that, and the Constitution, Constitution, Constitution. Well, you know, majority of people still haven't read the Constitution, nor do they understand it, nor do those that they elect to office, nor do any of the bureaucrats who take an oath of office to take and support and protect the Constitution of your state and the federal Constitution as well. And everybody runs around calling themselves patriots that say, oh yeah, we're standing on the Constitution. Patriot this, patriot that, patriot this. You're a patriot. Well, what's the definition of a patriot? What I like about the IOTC, and that's the Institute on the Constitution, is that, as I've talked about many a times, is that words have meaning. And what you read in a dictionary now doesn't mean the same thing that it did during our founders' time, nor even and up through that of Daniel Webster. So Daniel Webster, who knew 27 different languages, and he was able to take and build out a real dictionary, not the garbage that moderns have thrown, puked out. I'll call it puked out because they're reinventing words. So, you know, that's all bleh. Anyway, the here's one for you talking about bleh, is decay as a noun. It's the gradual failure of health, strength, soundness, prosperity, or any species of excellence or perfection, decline to worse or less perfect state. Let's see. tendency towards dissolution or extinction, a state of deprivation or diminution. Old men feel the decay of the body. Boy, I'm getting older, so I feel that decay. We lament the decay of virtue and patriotism in the state. Wow. Wow. He used, that's the type of sentence that he used in the definition. Now, I would like to take you to a couple other ways that he used patriot in the definition of a model. What's a model? A model in the sixth definition of a model, a pattern, anything to be imitated. Take Cicero, Lord Chatham, or Lord Burke as a model of eloquence. Take Washington as a model of prudence, integrity, and patriotism. Above all, let Christ be the model of our benevolence, humility, obedience, and obedient patience. You know, you're not going to find that in any modern dictionary, especially that last sentence, above all, let Christ be the model of our benevolence, humility, obedience, and patience. Wow. Wow. And Washington, the model of prudence, integrity, and patriotism. No, now we are tearing Washington down. And most people don't even know who Cicero is, let alone Lord Chatham or Burke. So let's get right to it so we can talk about Sam Adams a little bit in prayer. Is that, what's a patriot? A patriot. I'm not going to get into the Latin, but it is someone that is a love of one's native country. A person who loves his country and zealously supports and defends it and its interests. Such tears as patriots shed for the dying law. Holy smokes, I think he was taking and looking into the future. So our law, our just law, our Constitution is dying, and patriots should be shedding tears in this definition. Here's another portion of the definition of patriot, is patriotic. Devoted to the welfare of one's country, as patriot zeal, patriotic, a full patriotism actuated by the love of one's country, as patriotic hero or a statesman, inspired by the love of one's country, directed to the public safety and welfare, as patriotic zeal. Now here's patriotism. And this is the one that I want you really to grab a hold of and see if you're really fit the definition of a patriot and whether you really fit the definition of patriotism. Love of one's country, okay. The passion which aims to serve one's country, either in defending it from invasion. Who's defending it from invasion right now? We're being invaded like crazy. All right. Commentary over. So either in defending it from invasion or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity. Patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen, the noblest passion that animates a man in the character of a citizen. So here, Daniel Webster, in 1828, when he was writing all of this down, he gave us examples of a model. He gave us word use examples of patriotism and identified that with George Washington. He told us that the greatest model that we can have is Jesus Christ for all of those things that are necessary for humans to act well within society. And then we'll have to talk about Sam Adams and prayer in the next segment, because I think this is very, very key on patriotism now, is that can you really call yourself a patriot? And when you exercise what that patriot is or patriotism, can you define that you're taking and you're, you know, protecting the rights? You're stopping invasion. You're maintaining the laws, which the laws in America were established to be moral laws. So where do we determine as a patriot? And this goes especially for Christians, you believers out there. So many of you, you're not patriots. You're barely able to survive in this world. You've pulled yourself out so far in your pietism, as we talked about last week with Matt, is that you pulled yourself so far out that you have no connection to the reality of America any longer. So I guess that's why a lot of you don't vote, because you're cowards. You're not patriots. But patriotism is you're going to stop the invasion. You're going to be a moral leader, and you're going to want moral leaders. That's really Romans 13, is moral and just leaders that take and stop evil, punish evil. Not that you just blindly fall down and worship, as O'Biden wrote in his letter, that every religion and belief system is what made this country. That's wrong. If you believe that and you accept that, you're accepting evil. You're accepting evil. And to tolerate that is then saying that you do not believe that Jesus is that model that we could look at for benevolence, humility, obedience, and patience, and that he's not the king of the universe. He's not the one that has all authority over heaven and earth. No, you're saying that, you know, every ideology works. Every other type of religion, God, works, because that's what is being said from the White House and from even Congress, even from your state house, probably from your county as well. It is, because you're still running around with muzzles on your faces, especially in open places. I think that you need to get a grip on some reality of even what patriotism is. I guess when we really look at it, no, I don't guess. There's no guess about it. It's very plain as this monster nose on my face, is the fact and reality that we have walked away, as we talked about last week, and the pulpits in particular. Now, there's a number of them, as when we talked with Doug Wilson several weeks ago, he's real encouraged at what's happening in his own denomination. But once again, you take and you listen to a lot of these people and this whole idea, what are you praying for? Who are you praying to? You know, we'll talk a little bit more about that, because if we remember in the Old Testament, we remember in the prophets, if there was evil. And even during our founding period, if you really go study the prayers of those founding pastors, they prayed against the men that were in leadership, that were promoting despotism and tyranny and evil, and pronounced God's judgment on them so that we would have liberty. That's what you need to be doing. So I think that hopefully on that National Day of Prayer back there on May 6th, that's how you prayed. I don't know. Maybe you just gave the lip service prayer that happens so often. Instead of calling for judgment, instead of calling for repentance, instead of calling for what God would call for, and understanding that Jesus is king over everything. And that he is that model, even by Webster's 1828 dictionary. And then the idea of what is it to be a patriot? Where's your fidelity? Who do you take and stand with and for? Sam Adams knew, anti-federalists knew, and you're getting a little bit of insight. So come on back for the third segment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this third segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists got it right. This is Tom Navolas, your host. And I do want to welcome back all of you from Soaring Eagle Radio. I'm such a delight to have you back here in this third segment. I would highly recommend that you go back and listen to the second segment on the podcast, which you can find over my left shoulder there at SamuelAdamsReturns.net. And the reason is because I was talking about patriotism, a patriot, and I, quite frankly, was laying out the case according to Daniel Webster's definition of patriotism and questioning who are patriots. Are there real patriots under that understanding, under that definition of patriotism? And that Daniel Webster, the dictionaries today don't tell the truth. They're all revisionist dictionaries in language, as well as history, as well as, you know, we can go on and on, as well as the other insanities that are going on out there. For instance, this whole nonsense on the critical race theory. I do want to take and direct your attention to a couple of articles that are there in the program information at SamuelAdamsReturns.net for today's program. Here's one that the critical race theory drives students apart. Idaho lawmakers had enough, and they vote to get rid and throw critical race theory out. Here in Ohio, it's being promoted, as well as the 1619 Project. So we have a lot of this evil, and we talked about that evil and what patriots should do about evil and Christians should do about evil, but you have to go back to the second segment. If you do not get the imprimis from Hillsdale College, I suggest that you get the one from March, which is volume 50, number 3, and I've got the link reference in the notes as well. Critical race theory, what is it and how to fight it? So I would recommend that you look at that. And then we talked about being a patriot and having patriotism is to stop invasion. Invasion not only at our borders, but invasion on everything that would destroy our constitutional heritage and the framework of the Constitution itself, both federal and your state. So with that, I wanted to jump back over to none other than Mr. Webster and to take and look at a definition that he had here for something that a lot of people look at is predominate. What does it mean to predominate something? It means to prevail. And this is, again, 1828 definition of predominate. It means to prevail, to surpass in strength, influence, or authority, to be superior, to have controlling influence. In some persons, the love of money predominates over all other passions. In others, ambition or the love of fame predominates. In most men, self-interest predominates over patriotism and philanthropy. That gave me pause. I'm hoping that it gives you pause, because what Webster looks at, not just those words of to prevail, to surpass in strength, on and on, but then how he uses it, the context for the usage of the word, and he gets into those which are otherwise defined as sin. Okay? In some persons, it's the love of money that predominates. That's what Jesus says. It's the love of money. Let's see. In others, ambition or love of fame, which is envy, predominates. And in most, self-interest predominates over what we talked about in the last segment on patriotism. Now, as you recall from the first segment, I was mentioning about O'Biden's proclamation for the National Day of Prayer. I wanted to contrast that with the proclamation by His Honor Samuel Adams, Esquire, Lieutenant Governor and Commander-in-Chief of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This proclamation was given in February of 1794. And once again, this was Sam Adams as Lieutenant Governor. And the proclamation begins in this way. It says, a proclamation for a day of public fasting, humiliation, and prayer. Wow. Totally different than the resident proclamation. It continues on this way. It having been the invariable practices from time to time when our pious and renowned ancestors took possession of this land, at the approaching season of the year, to set apart a day publicly to acknowledge an entire dependence on the Father of all mercies for every needful blessing, and to express sorrow and repentance for the manifold transgressions of His holy laws. And the practice being highly becoming, all people, especially those who profess the Christian religion. Whoa, time out. I'm giving the time out thing here for those who are watching on the screen. Time out. Wait a minute. Well, Biden said that it was all these other religions and all these other, you know, things, stuff, philosophies, and everything else that he lumped into his proclamation that said that makes everything great and the prayers beholding and blah, 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 blah. No, wait a minute. He's talking about here, Sam Adams. Sam Adams says that it was time to time our pious and renowned ancestors who took possession of the land, they set a day for publicly to acknowledge the entire dependence on the Father of all mercies. Well, there's only one of those, and that is the living God of the Bible. And then he says that what? It's not all this baloney to get together. It is to do what? It's for the needful, to express our sorrow and repentance for manifold transgressions of His holy laws. And the practice was becoming to all the people. That meant even those that, all the people, that practice, not the O'Biden practice, and especially to those who were professing to be Christians. So here he goes on with this paragraph, and we're not going to get into it. Again, it's in your references as to where this is. He continues with this. I have, in capital letters, thought fit by and with the advice of the council to appoint Thursday, the 17th day of April, next, to be observed throughout this commonwealth as a day of public fasting, humiliation, and prayer, earnestly exhorting the ministers of religion to assemble with their respective congregations on the same day, that deeply lamenting our ingratitude to our Heavenly Father, to whom we are under all possible obligations and our many deviations from those right and safe paths, into which our supreme governor, that being God, that being Jesus Christ, as we established in the last two segments, He hath plainly directed us, we may with one heart and voice humbly implore His gracious and free pardon through Jesus Christ, supplicating his divine aid that we may become a reformed and happy people. At the same time, humbly beseeching him mercifully to regard our lives and health so that no infectious or mortal distemper may prevail amongst us. Whoa! I'm sorry. You got to go read this all on your own, but I got my hands on my head for all of those on the radio and the podcast, because I'll tell you what. Well, wait a minute. Instead of bowing down to the CDC and the God man Fauci and that of none other than the shot. What does it say? While humbly beseeching him mercifully to regard our lives and health so that no infectious or mortal distemper may prevail among us. Whew. That's what needed to happen. Call to prayer, call to repentance in this land, and to fight the Chi-Coms and all the other evil. But instead, we turned away from beseeching the God of the universe to the CDC and the man God, with a small g, the man God Fauci. Sam Adams continues in this way: to favor our land with the alternate benefits of rain and warmth of the sun, and that our hopes of a plentiful harvest may not be disappointed by devouring insects or any other calamity, to prosper our trade and fishery and the labor of our hands, to protect our navigation from the rapacious hands of invaders and robbers on the seas, and graciously to open a door of deliverance to our fellow citizens in cruel captivity in a land of barbarians, to continue and confirm our civil and religious liberties, and for that great purpose to bless and direct our great universities, which they ain't great no more, and all seminaries, their cemeteries now, and schools of education, which are now indoctrination. So we got a lot of prayer there. To guide and succeed the councils of our federal government, which we need to be praying for them as directed in Scripture, as well as those of the several states in the Union, that under their respective constitutions, they may be led to such decisions as will establish the liberty, peace, safety, and honor of our country. To inspire our friends and allies with the spirit of wisdom and true religion, that relying on the strength of his almighty arm, that may still go on prosperously till their arduous conflict for a government of their own, founded in a just and equal rights of men, shall be finally crowned with success. And above all, to cause the religion of Jesus Christ in its true spirit to spread far and wide till the whole earth shall be filled with his glory. That now, ladies and gentlemen, is a call to prayer in the state of Massachusetts at that time. But that is what the early calls to national prayer were like as well. I could have pulled up something from Washington or, you know, one of the other early presidents, but I thought Sam Adams would drive it home for you. And what that reference is for you to go back and look at and read and understand that we are up against tyranny. We're up against the God haters. And it is time for Christians to act like Christians and to fight for our liberties and not allow evil to possess the land and take it over. Because, you know, go back and read your Old Testament and you find out what happens when evil possesses the land and you have evil rulers taking control and doing all the various things that they are doing, not just then, but now. They're doing the exact same things. Hasn't changed. Nothing new under the sun. So with that, that's where my challenge is. Understand, are you a patriot? Then act like one. Go back and listen to that second segment. Understand what it means to be a true patriot, as Sam Adams was, the anti-federalists were, and you and I should be for now and tomorrow. Come on back next week. Sam Adams returns.